We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. It's time to take time for Jesus. It should be on all of the minds of the people today. But the days are coming to be worsesome than they ever have been before. We look into the Word of God and we study the news and listen to it, and then we look into the Word of God to see what the people in the news are talking about, and we find that it's going along with what Jesus said, that when he told the apostles and them back in those days that the temple of God, the Jewish temple at that time, would be destroyed and not one stone left on another that would not be thrown down. This happened in 70 AD by Trebius, one of the Roman soldiers' head men. But my friend, today, if that prophecy has came true, as Jesus said, why is there so much doubt in the people's minds today, including a lot of them that supposed to have been to their Bible colleges, and so they say, and they should know what the Scripture says? And we're living now in the last days. Daniel made mention in the Daniel 9 about that the Lord, he asked the Lord, when will these things be? And Jesus told him the book was closed up, but the time would be at the end when knowledge would increase and people would be running to and fro. And all these things have come to pass. You remember that how that I have said back in the early days of the United States, and when the West and the East was far apart, then people would go over from the East Coast to the West Coast in covered wagons, and it'd take them months. Now they can do it in a matter of hours or in a matter of days at the longest. But now that people have come to see these things, why doubt what the Word of God says? So much of them is doubting it today. No wonder that we're living in such a time of turmoil and things of that nature, and we have all this stuff that's going on, is because people have failed to believe what God has already put in order over 2,000 years ago. When he chose out 12 men, he didn't go to the high-educated so-called priest of that time or the synagogues, because they thought they had it all made because they called themselves the seed of Abraham. My friend, today, we got to realize that God created all human beings. He made them out of the dust of the earth to start with, and he made a man, and out of the dust he created a woman from one of his ribs, and he brought them together in marriage. So why do we wonder why all of this perversion and going on with sexual immorality and things is because we failed to believe what God had to say concerning these things. But as Eve believed what the devil had to tell her, though he spoke through the serpent and said her that all these things was okay. So she seen the fruit was good to look at. She seen it was good to touch. And she tasted of it and seen it was good to taste, but she didn't understand the consequences of it. And that's why that the devil can deceive you. He makes everything look real good, and it makes it sound real good, but in the consequences of it, it may cost you your very existence of your life. So why not believe what thus saith the Word of God? It's time we take time out for all of our other chores of our days and whatever it may be that you occupy your time with. Take a few minutes to read the Word of God and see what it has to say. Don't believe every wind of doctrine that comes across the TV or wherever it comes from, but believe what the Word of God has to say. And that's why I encourage you to read your Bible. Get it firsthand, right out of the book, and you don't have to be concerned about it. Believe what it says, because it's not hid to accept them that are lost. If you have any questions about it, repent. Ask God to help you to understand His Word. Ask Him to guide you into the life that He would have you to go into, because He is the potter and we're the clay. He can make us a vessel to honor Him, as well as you go ahead and let the God of this world make you a vessel to dishonor yourself, your friends, your loved ones, your parents and everything else, and you wind up the consequences to be cast into hell for eternity. So what's it going to be? Are we going to believe what God has to say against sin and immorality and the things that are causing people to fail? We're bringing forth death on people by they thought their rights is more than anybody else's, consider nobody else's rights, so they take it in their hands to kill, steal, and destroy. My friend, that wasn't what God created to be that way. The enemy of the soul, the God of this world, the devil himself, thought he would get to be the big man. He would rise above God, and he got cast into hell, according to the scriptures. And he's wanting to have plenty of company, so he's went about even bringing himself and transforming himself into an angel of light. And his ministers also, it's a lot of preachers out there preaching another Jesus when there was only one. God was manifested in the flesh, come and died for yours and my sins. But yet and still people will flock after one man or after a man, thinking that he's God himself, and they get distraught when he comes to fail short and he gets caught with his hand in a cookie jar, so to say. When he comes to be something a bit different from what they thought he was to be, they get so disheartened about the things, and then they say, well, if he couldn't make it, there's no sense of me trying. My friend, that's wrong. It's completely wrong. You're relying upon the wrong thing. Lean upon the arm of God. Study your word and see what God has to say about these days in which we now live. These scientists go ahead and they've got, the knowledge has increased enough that they put telescopes thousands of miles above the earth, and they're seeing things that they never seen before. And they think it's something new. Well, in a sense, the way it is new to the eye, but there's nothing new to God. He created it all in the beginning, and it's been there all along. But the knowledge has increased, as God told Daniel it would. So they put these big telescopes up there, and they're seeing a lot of God's domains up there that they never seen before with the human eye. But it's been there all the time. There's nothing new under the heavens. There's always there. God created the heavens and earth and the fullness thereof, and everything that has been made was created by the Almighty God. God himself put it in place, and God himself one day will change the whole outcome. And he said he would destroy and bring forth, and he would even create a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So are you going to be with the one that's going to say that with this, all this come because of a big bang? Are you going to go with what the word of God said? God said in the beginning he created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. He made man, he created the woman, and everything that's been made, he made it male and female in the species from whatever crawls on the ground or whatever flies in the air or whatever swims in the sea and whatever walks on two legs like man. He created them male and female to where they would replenish the earth. Woman and woman can't replenish. Man and man can't replenish. So my friends, we need to get down to business and see what God has to say. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for the same thing, but here it is, our judges and everything, just like they did then, is sanctioning all this, even to the queen, and she is agreeing with it, and all of our countries around about that's agreeing with this. And when you come up to say that it's wrong, they claim you to be a hate people and everything. It's not the person I hate, it's that sin, and that's the way God is. It's the sin that they're committing that's what God hates. He loved the soul so much he died for it, including them. But he brings them to the place that they need to repent and call upon the name of the Lord. He ain't going to save you in your sins, but he saved you from our sins. as he said, when Jesus, the angel rather, spoke to Mary and said that she would be conceived with a there and bring forth a child and a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, and he should save his people from their sins. He didn't say in their sins, but from their sins. But now the word was spoken to Mary's womb, and the word became flesh. John records in the 10th chapter, he said, or in the first chapter there of John, he said, in the beginning was the word. Genesis said, in the beginning was God. When John recorded, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, there's some people that's got a division in the Godhead. Some wants two, some wants three, but they can't come to understand that what is, and God declares himself, and Jesus spoke it, I and my Father are one. And when Philip said, show us the Father and sufficeth us, he said, Philip, have I been so long with you that you have not known me? For when you have seen me, you have seen the Father also. God is a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. The problem with the world today, they've got so much division, but there's no division in God. A house divided can't stand. But we call ourselves Christian, but yet some say there's three, some says there's two, and some of them don't even recognize God. But there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism that we're baptized into, one body. Well, why do we go to try to separate these things that which God has already set in order? Simply because the enemy of the world, the God of this world, the enemy of yours and my soul, has got in and told a lie, and they believed it. They've come to the place that they will trust in their own human instincts rather than in the prophecy that God laid forth by the men of old and brought forth and wrote to us of a guideline that we should go by. Riley McNally made a map, and it's sufficient to get you from one place to the other here in the United States and a few other places. But if you don't go by the markings that he's got laid out there and the routes that is marked there for you to go by to get to where you want to go, you're going to mess up. The Bible is a guideline for you and I that when we come into this world, born of a woman, born into this world, and you're going to have trouble. But if born of a woman and he come into this world, you're going to have to rely upon him, the Creator, to get you from here into the kingdom of God. It's going to come through Jesus Christ. Riley McNally can't get you to heaven. He can get you from here to New York or from wherever you're at to the place that you desire to go if you follow the markings that he's got and the marks on the signpost and all, and you can get there. But my friend, you're going to have to read your word of God. You're going to have to believe what God has to say to get you into the kingdom of God where eternal life is that. We look into the things there in the time that we're living in. All these things that I mentioned that the people, scientists think, and they find all this new thing, and they claim that the earth was Big Bang. They deny God, and that's wrong. They're full of deceive. They're full of their own self. Their pride has exalted them just like Lucifer did. He let his pride get the best of him and he was cast into hell. But these people that thinks that they know more than God does is going to wind up with Lucifer, the devil himself. Hell has enlarged itself where them that want to go can be and have accommodations there, and the devil will laugh at you. But the thing of it is, he knows at his ends are going to be that he's going to be cast into hell himself and fastened up. And no escape. Now that praying to putting all your money into somebody's pocket and saying you're going to pray them out of purgatory, that's a lie out of hell, and the devil's the father of it. Once you're there, according to the scriptures, Abraham told the rich man that when Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, and he told the rich man that Lazarus couldn't go to him, and he couldn't come to Lazarus. Well, let the dead go. Well, one rose from the dead, Jesus Christ, and he's telling the people today they need to repent. Deny the things of the past, the world and everything, and cleave to God, but they're not doing it. So they're on a road of destruction, and the only way they can get turned around, you got to call on Jesus. You got to repent. You got to take time out of everything else and give some time to God and believe what He has to say instead of the other things that would go on in your life, and believe the Word of God. That's why I encourage you to read. I encourage you to get your Bible if you don't have one, and read what God has to say about the things that are across the land. These things that were spoken of in the Bible. We look at the Luke in the 21st chapter there, and the 25th verse there, and we can see that where He said that the signs would come in the heavens and in the earth, the sun and the moon, and we read these things. Scientists said they've been seeing NASA over there with their telescopes that they can see in the brightness of the sun now that we used to couldn't do because knowledge has increased and they'd be able to do it. They've seen these big solar flares, cyclones on the sun, and these things and other. My friend, it's been there all along the time. That's the way God put it in motion, and you can't explain it no other way. All these things that are happening is the signs of the end time. The knowledge has increased, and all the things are happening that Daniel was spoke about in his book, and it come to pass, and therefore in Matthew 24 and 19, it said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, then shall they see the coming of the Son of Man in the clouds of glory. My friend, we're living in the end time, and you need to get it right. Now, these preachers are preaching, and they want you to send your seed to their bank account, laying up treasures for against the last days. They're building up their mansions and all these things for that they can live sumptuously like the rich man. But when the rich man died, he didn't take any of it with him. But in hell, he lifted up his eyes and seen Lazarus, which had nothing but was begging just for the crumbs in Abraham's bosom, and he was being comforted while the rich man was being tormented. Money is not going to buy your way into the kingdom of God. It's going to call you for to repent and get all the sin out of your life. Someone says, oh, we're all going to sin a little bit more or less. Well, it's not possible for God's people to sin. But even should we make a mistake and do something that we shouldn't have done, He's going to bring it to your knowledge to let you know you done wrong. You need to repent. As Paul said, I die daily. He also said, I have not yet obtained, but I reach for and strive after the mark of the calling and high calling in Christ Jesus. But when Paul was sent to Rome and the time was his departure had come, he said that after my departure, that grievous wolves would come in and scatter the flock. It'd bring in harassing and bring in false teachings and everything, and that they have done. There's a lot of preachers are preaching what somebody else told them instead of what the Word of God is. My friend, it needs to be brought to your attention, and I'm trying my best. It's not your money or your wealth that I'm after. It's not the wealth of this world that I'm after. I'm after to win souls for the kingdom of God. I'm after to help someone on the right path to everlasting life in the kingdom of God. It's my desire that I could win a soul for Him and for Him because He's done so much for me. I'm not a rich man. I don't seek after the riches of this world, but God has met my needs, and that's all He promised us. Some of the people are crying out and said, for God to do this and God to do that, and they're not even God's children. How many times have you asked your dad, I mean, really you asked your real dad to give you a loaf of bread and he gave you a rock? Or did you ask for a fish and he gave you a serpent? If we know how to give good gifts being mortal, then how much more does our Heavenly Father know to give us good gifts if we, in fact, His children? But He said that when we repent and he gave us power to become sons of God. You can't do it, my friend, without repenting. So all those prayers you go in and sending up for God to bless you with wealth and riches and heal your cancer and your heart attack of your loved ones, and if you don't know him as your Lord and Master, your prayers go up in vain, because a prayer of a sinner is not answered. But when God's children call upon him, he listens. And you say, well, brother, you know of good people that, yes, I know they have. But when they've served out to God and God brings forth that lets that death angel come by, we're not destined in this flesh to live eternally, my friend. Our days are numbered. Some seems to go longer than others, but you go to the cemetery and you find little graves and you find mediums and you find the big ones. But God, in all of his wonders and his glory, has prepared a place for them that love him, and he will come forth on that day of resurrection. Now, some people are teaching that the first resurrection's already passed. Well, the day that the Lord resurrected and there and all, there was some that rose back in them days. Some of the saints were seen walking in the streets of Jerusalem, but that was not the first resurrection. As to when the Lord appears in the clouds of glory, that's going to be the first resurrection of the dead to never die again, and they will be caught up to meet the Lord in the cloud with them that are still alive, be changed. My friend, don't get deceived by every wind of doctrine that comes down the road. Read your Bible, see what it has to say. And if you don't quite understand it, seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart. He will lead you and guide you into the truth. Once his spirit has come into your life, that's what his job is to do. The Holy Ghost, to bring you into the spirit of truth and to lead and guide you into all truth. There's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. You cannot make it secondary. It's going to take first line on the road that would lead to eternal life. Jesus said it's a straight way and a narrow gate. But the road that leads to destruction is a wide road and a wide gate, and many walk thereon. So it's up to you. I mean, I can't make you, but I would like to persuade some of you to turn your hearts to the Lord. Let him come into your life and be that he would have you to be. Let him lead and direct your life. And as the scripture says, that the steps of a good man is altered of God. So why not be what God would have you to be, instead of chasing after everything that comes down the road and looking for something other it ain't there. But if you look to Jesus Christ, it's not to say that you can go to the rose garden, my friend, and you can smell in those beautiful smell they got, the fragrance of them, and you can touch them and handle them. But be careful, because there's stickers on them. I know I love roses, but I get into my roses sometimes and I get stuck by the thorns of them, and that's the way life is. Life has got some problems in it. There's some stickies in it, and there's some good times in it. The good times is when you be careful and you smell the sweet fragrance of those flowers that God has put on this earth, and it's enjoyable. But be careful, my friends, as some of them can give you some problems. So Jesus wants to lead us into the place that we're in, that there be no more problems. There be no more sickness, no more dying, no more suffering of the things that we're suffering here in this world. But you got to repent first. You can't make it on your own. You got to have Jesus. He's the only one that can help you get there. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. He is the door. He is the way. So we're going to have to take time out of all of the other things, put aside mother, dad, and sister and brother and children and everything, and sit down with the Word of God and read and study and see what he has to tell us each day. I know sometimes I get carried away with other things, and I don't get to do it as often as I should, but I want to admit that I'm the first one will admit I come short a lot of times, but I have to repent daily my friend. I call upon the name of the Lord daily to help me that I'll be more like him. We were created in his image. When you look into the mirror, you see the image of God. But we are far from being like him as he created Adam, because Adam knew what was going on. But when he fell in the garden that brought destruction upon mankind, man has to repent. No matter what you think or what somebody's told you, you ain't going to get there any old way that down the road. You're going to have to come to Jesus Christ, recognize him being Lord and Master, and allow him into your life, and repent of your sins and become one of the children of God. You can't get there by every wind of doctrine. Some says you got to belong to this denomination or you can't make it. Some says you got to be this one or you got to be that. But my friend, except you repent and allow Jesus Christ to come into your life, and except you belong to him and understand this gospel, because the gospel is not hid to them except they're lost. And we need to repent and come to the Lord ourselves, not somebody else for us. But you need to pray that prayer of repentance and let God know you're sorrowful and you're sorry for the sins that you have committed against him and all these things. And you say, well, when did I commit any sins against the Lord but not believe in what he had to say? You traipsing after the things of the world, and you become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You love the world, and the love of the Father is not there. If you love the world, you can't love two people, two gods at the same time. You can't love the world and expect God to invite you into his kingdom when your love is towards something else. He loved him, Jesus, with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, giving him praise and honor. That's the only way we're going to make it. And my friends, it's time we understand. Matthew said it would be a time of troubles, time of wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in various places. Listen to the word and listen and see what the news has to say when it talks about these things. The increase of knowledge has gave people knowledge to know these things, and they pass it on. But it's been wrote in the word of God for over 2,000 years. God has placed it in order, and it will be fulfilled to the very cross of the T and the dot of the I. It will not fall. It will come to pass as he has said, until that time of all fulfillment, and Jesus is going to come and claim his own, and them that don't know him as their Lord and Savior is going to be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's plain as a nose on your face, as the old saying goes, if you read what the Bible has to say. Don't take my word for it, and nobody else's educated man that's come down the road with a Bible tucked under his arm and said, I am the Lord, I am Jesus, because many of them had come, and Jesus said they would come, and they have come declaring themselves to be something that they're not. But in the finality of it, after a little while, they stumble around and run off with somebody else's wife, or get caught in the hand in the cookie jar, and messing around with them things they're not supposed to be. But they claim that they're Jesus himself, some of them does, and has led many people into destruction because they believed a lie, and the Bible said you believe a lie and be damned. My friend, now what are you going to believe, the word of God? Are you going to believe them that comes with a wolf in sheep's clothing? Many of them there. The Lord was dealing with me here a while back, and he said, I've got some pastors, but he said there's also some goat herders. You can take a goat and drive him around, just turn him loose, and he'll eat anything. But sheep needs to be led into green pastures, and that's what the chief shepherd is trying to do with his flock. He's trying to lead them into the place of green pastures and by the still waters. Did you know a sheep won't drink out of running water that's swift and trembling like water in some creeks runs down real swift over the rocks and things and over the mountains and all? They like to have a still, calm, edified pool of water to drink from. therefore they are sure that they can lay down in them green pastures and rest. That's what God's design that he is want to bring us into if we will believe him and follow him. He's the chief shepherd. He's God Almighty. He knows it all. Didn't he predict that that the 12 apostles that he chose, and didn't he say that one of them was a devil? Judas betrayed him simply because he wanted the money. He wanted the money, so he betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. He was the one that had he was kind of like the banker for the group. He toted the purse, and he wanted money. So he traded off the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. But afterwards, his silver didn't help him much. He cast it back, and it was bought a field out there to bury strangers in, because it was blood money. My friend, and so Judas went there and seen what was going on, and he went out and hung himself, and he fell headlong and bursted asunder. My friend, we need to repent. We need to come to the Lord. We don't need to sell him short. Money is not going to get you into the kingdom. It's good for things here in this life, true enough, but he gave us the ability to earn it. He didn't say take a gun and go steal it from Sam, and he didn't tell Judy and Judy to shack up together, and he didn't tell Sam and Slim to shack up together. He said man and woman is to be replenish the earth. Man and man can't do it. Woman and woman can't do it. So it's time we take into consideration what the Word of God has to say and not believe every wind of doctrine and what the world has to say and what man has to say. But we need to look into the Scriptures. That's why I encourage you, read your Bible. Look into what God has to say about these things that are happening in the world today. There's some good preachers out there. They preach the Word of God, and they stand upon it. And I'd like to be in amongst one of them, if I may be, that would tell you what God has to say about the things that are happening. We're looking at the end time, my friend. He said, when you see all these things begin to happen and come into pass, he said, look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. So now we're seeing these things. Now the scientists in all these years, people's trying to make the world just happen to be a big bang somewhere or another, and it all this come into existence. Well, I got news for them. They are liars, and the devil is the father of them. And God had no intention to let that be authenticated, and he's going to bring it to pass, and they're going to one day look on him that pierced them that pierced him, and they're going to look and see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of glory, and they're going to realize all their little stories don't hold water, my friend, because they've hewed them out citrons out there. It's full of holes and won't hold water. God spoke to us about the living waters. He offered the woman at the well, the Samaritan there, living waters. Not the water that you could go and not draw from natural water, but this living waters will bring eternal life to you. That living waters is the Spirit of the living God. Ezekiel went and he seen it coming out from underneath the altar there, and it flowed out into water, was measured to his ankle, to his thighs, to his knees, to his hips, and it got into where he could swim at it, and it was so much of it he couldn't cross over it. The Spirit of God, my friend, you can't go around it, you can't go over it, you can't go through it. It's there if you want to accept it. It's where eternal life is, through the Spirit of God. This flesh and blood ain't going to inherit the kingdom of God, but them bodies that's eternally made in heaven, that's going to eternally accept and therefore be born again into the kingdom of God through a new birth, not by the water, but by the Spirit of the living God. My friends, we got to know that the Scriptures cannot be broken. These people that went into a lot of seminaries and they've learned this and learned that, they learned what somebody else taught them. But Paul went out, he was a smart man. He knew what the law was. He learned at one of the feet of the at the feet of one of the smartest men at that time, Cornelius. But he learned all about the law, but he knew nothing about Jesus Christ, because Cornelius didn't even know him. He didn't want to because he was afraid to recognize him, and all of his prestige and all of his authority would be less noticed. He wanted to be head honcho like the devil did, because he was one of the devil's right-hand men, I guess. But when Paul met up with the God of creation on the road to Damascus, he was going to put people in jail that called on the name of the Lord, and he had authority from the synagogues that they didn't believe in him. And so they sent him there with authority to bind and put in prison, even have killed if he so desired. But when he met up face to face with the Lord in the brightness of his glory on the road to Damascus, and when he fell to the earth and he cried out and he said, "Lord, who art thou?" And he said, "I am Jesus of whom thou persecutest." Are you persecuting him now because you won't believe in him? You're saying them people that believes in him is crazy and all? That's persecuting the Lord. And one day you're going to stand and give an answer to it if that's what your life is doing. But if you accepted him as your personal Savior, then one day somebody will persecute you. But one day when that whole thing is come in order and Jesus says, "Come up here," and you rise to meet him in the cloud, won't it be a joyful time? Won't it be worth it all? I think so. I hope you would too. But Paul, when he rose from the dust of the earth, he died there and he come alive. But he went into Damascus, and when God's person come and the scales fell off his eyes, he didn't go to the synagogue to see what them people there, the chiefs or the priests and all, had to tell him about living right. He went into the wilderness, out into Arabia, and therefore he got the revelation directly from the Lord himself. And he came and later and found out that Peter and John and Matthew and all of them preaching the same gospel. There's only one gospel. And he said that this gospel be hid, it be hid from them that are lost. Ain't no man on earth has got the right to claim he's God on earth. He's a liar and the devil's his father. Anybody that comes up and claims to be anything but a man, he may be smart and he may be real wealthy and everything, but he's still a man. My friend, God is God all over the world. He created it all for his glory. He made the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof, and he's going to come back one day and destroy this presently thing. And the Bible says he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wouldn't it be joyful in your heart to know that when that time comes, you can be glad to see him, glad to hear him, glad to look upon him, and not be like some of them that would said, "Where did you get these wounds from?" When Jesus replied to him in Zacharias, he said, "In the house of my friend." When you come to the place that we're in, that you're going to be his friend, and when wound him with your transgressions and all, are you going to be a friend that will stand and defend his gospel and tell others about him, how great of a God he really is? My friend, we need to learn how to disciple the Word of God, to study it. We need to know that the truth of God's Word is going to come forth, and all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. So what is it going to be? I hope you choose to serve Jesus. I hope you choose to take time out of your daily activities and give some motion to him, some prayer and some thought of him. That's all he's required, to recognize who he is and what he is, repent and come to him and live the life that he would choose for you to live, free from the sins of the world, but to come out from among the world and be you therefore separated. And he said, "I'll receive you," so that says the word. So my friend, what are you going to do? You're going to continue in the ways of the world, reaping of all that whatever it has to offer you and die and spend eternity in hell? Or would you deny the world, come out from among it, live in the best of your life that by the help and the grace of God that you can serve God in the beauty of holiness? And therefore, when it comes time to the death angel comes, or either the Lord comes, whichever one happens, that you can be greeted into the kingdom of God? Or would you rather just be cast into outer darkness? Jesus spoke more of hell and sin than he did anything else in the heavens. There's a place of rest in the kingdom of God. Would you rather be there, or would you rather be in a place of torment, which is called hell? Ain't no such a thing as there, purgatory, and they can pay the priest money to get you out. When you're there, you're there. And it ain't going to be no getting out. It's going to be a time that there, death, hell, and the grave, that second resurrection is going to be give up. The dead that are in there, and it's going to come forth, and it's going to be judged, and it's going to be cast again into hell, which is the second death. But the old boy we call the devil, Lucifer, is going to be cast in there with you and fashioned up no more to deceive the people of the world that God has made a creation and a new one. See, Lucifer was an important part of heaven to start with. Bible says he was perfect and upright, most beautiful as heaven, angel in heaven, till deceit was found in him. He pride got him up. I'll ascend, I'll go, and I'll go. I'll even ascend above the Most High. He got him cast into the lower part of hell. And there he will be. There's no hope for him. They say, the devil, they talk about fear God. The devil fears him and trembles. Do you fear God and tremble? Impossible for the devil to be saved. But right now, it's still up to you. If you hadn't just denied God and went into some idolatry kind of a worship and calling upon a wooden god or a stone god or some other thing else that you call a god, if you've done that, then it may not be no hope for you. But my friend, there's only one Lord and one faith. God Almighty came down and walked among man in the flesh. He went to Calvary to die for him. He come and suffered the same things to know what it was to bear pain and suffering. He knows what it is, because him being a spirit, he didn't know what it was, but he came and put on the robe of flesh, and the man called Jesus the Son of God, and he came here and seen what is happening to suffering. There was blind people he healed, sick people he healed, and all these things, but they whipped him with a cat of nine tails. He knew what it was to suffer. They pulled a beard from his face, and they spit on him, and then they taken him and nailed him to a tree. He knows what suffering's all about. Do you know what it takes for a man to do all of that for a friend? For someone he loved? Because it's what he done for you and I. He loved us enough that he died. He paid our sin debt. And through his blood, for the remission of sin, he gave us an opportunity to have life eternally. So it's up to you and I, my friend. It's up to us to choose you this day to whom you will serve, whether you serve man or God, serve the world or the Lord Jesus Christ. It's up to you. But we need to pray one for another. We need to love one another. And these people that are perverted into these homosexual acts and these things like that, the person is one thing, but the sin is something else. It's not a hate thing that I put out, that these people are wrong in their lifestyle. God didn't intend for that to be. The God of this world has fooled them into this thing. The soul is worth, God figured it was worth dying for. He died for it, but if they continue in that lifestyle, they will also die for their corruption. They'll be cast into hell along with the devil, and there'll be no peace there. The soul is worth saving if it can possibly be that they'll give up that lifestyle. God will receive them if they repent. But then again, anything that is an abomination in the sight of God is going to reap the whirlwind of death, hell, and destruction, irregardless of who he is, where he come from, what side of the planet he lives on. whether it's in the regions of the deepest place of wilderness, or if it's in the bright lights of the city of the brightest city on earth, if he doesn't know the Lord and Savior as his Jesus as his personal Savior, he's going to be cast into the lower part of hell where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I want to go to that city which is brighter than all, city of light that God created. I see my time is getting short here, and my wife has got something she wants to bring forth, and it's just so good to know that whom Jesus is, so good to know that my God reigns. He has control over it all, and he's going to bring it to the pass according to his writings. I believe it. We need to study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, that a workman be not ashamed. As Paul said, I'm not ashamed of this gospel, because it's power unto salvation. My God reigns, and Jesus is his name. Regardless of what somebody else says, God was manifested in the flesh. And as the angel told Mary, his name shall be called Jesus. In the Old Testament, his name was called many things and his titles. But he is the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, all three, one. And in the fullness of, as Timothy was wrote, or Paul wrote to Timothy, that in the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Jesus Christ. So here's my wife here, and may God richly bless you, my friend. And let's pray one for another. Father, bless them and help us, O God, to have ear to hear and a heart to receive and believe what you have had wrote into your word and accept you as our personal Savior, giving praise and honor unto the Almighty God. Lord, would I pray that you would bless them, touch their ears to hear and a heart to receive. Bless those that are sick amongst us and requested prayer. We pray, God, that you would answer that prayer and give them that promise of eternal life as they repent and come to thee. So we just give you the praise and the glory for all things in Jesus' precious name. Here's my wife. She's got something for you. God bless you.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm just honored this afternoon to be able to share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart. And our goal is to bring you closer to the Lord as the days are of his coming are fast approaching. A lot of people don't feel that way, but I believe that Jesus is coming soon. If you read your word and look at the signs in the heavens, as Brother Compton was saying, you know, it's written in the book. And if you don't believe the book, well, then you're in deep trouble, because I believe it from Genesis to Revelations and all the other parts in between. But this afternoon, I want to share with you the father of lies. It's I got it out of literature that I get, and I've said before, if you have anything that you would like to share, I'd be glad to do it, and I'm always looking for good stuff. And I'll give you the post office box in a little bit, but this is the father of lies. Satan's sway over mankind began when he turned the minds of Adam and Eve against God. In order to pull it off, he had to lie about God, and they had to fall for it. In that definite moment, he lied to them about God's goodness, God's word, and God's intentions. And you can read that in Genesis 3, 1-6. Satan is up to his old tricks. Jesus said that when the devil speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of all lies, John 8:44. It should not be surprising then that when trouble interrupts our lives, the father of lies whispers in our ears, and suddenly we are questioning God's goodness. When we're told to follow his commands, we wonder if his word is really true in the first place. When Jesus tells us things like, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth in Matthew 6:19, Satan tells us that the good life is about piling up things here, causing us to doubt God's good intention. You can't take it with you, and there's no U-Haul behind a hearse. Our problem is that while Adam and Eve, we believe Satan's lies, and when we do, our loyalty to God is compromised. Then our enemy slivers off to the next assignment, leaving us alone to face our regrets and realization that his lies have seduced us away from our truest friend. Who have you been listening to lately, Jesus or Satan? The power of Satan is no match for the power of God's word. I want to share with you a little, maybe it's a little story, but what are you trading for the Lord today? Are you trading feathers for worms? This is just a little story about a bird. When given the opportunity, one day traded a small feather for a worm. This seemed like a really good thing to do, that rather than go out searching for worms himself. And he had plenty of feathers, and he didn't miss one feather at all. It was so good that the next day, when given the opportunity, he gladly traded another feather for another worm. This went on daily for a few weeks until one day, the feathers that were traded were so many that he couldn't fly. He had traded his liberty for his security. What are you trading your security for today? Today is a day of salvation. Don't trade it for the world. Tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow may be not yours to behold. It may not be mine to behold. I try to live every day as if it were my last. We used to have a little card on our old van that says, only one life will soon be last, will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Separation from the world is to love the Lord and to obey his commandments. They're not grievous. They're easy. You just make up your mind that you're going to repent, turn away from all your ungodly, sinful life that you have now, and repent and turn to the Lord. And as Brother Compton was saying about the prayer, if you ask a prayer and it's not answered, it's because you're not one of his, and he is not obligated to answer your prayers. Many times people's prayers are answered, but it's not because of you. It's because someone else that was one of God's children loved you enough that they prayed for you. And I just praise God this afternoon that we do have a direct contact. I feel like the Lord answers our prayers. And if you would like to share with me something you have, our address is Take Time for Jesus, Post Office Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you live in the Tampa Bay area and you would like to attend a church where the Word of God is preached and Jesus Christ is lifted up, you can email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com. We will give you the name, the address, and everything. It's on Saturday and Sunday night at 7:30. Turn off your TV. Come and join us. We know you'll be blessed. And you can feel God there. You can feel the Spirit of the Lord. Where there's liberty, there's the Spirit of the Lord. May God bless you, Brother Earl.
Yes, praise the Lord. We just would invite you to come and be with us. As you said, I'm not the pastor of the church, and I'm not Seventh-day Adventist. I'm just go there and be a servant to God and do what I can. But the pastor has not gave me permission to tell where all this is at. So until he does, I just say, I'll give it to you through the email, but not over the broadcast, because many of the people, it probably be impossible for them to get there, because we feel like, according to the emails that we get from all over the country, so it would be kind of impossible for them to get there. But nevertheless, God is on the throne, and we know that he is still in control of everything, and we believe this, and this is what we preach. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, that we're baptized into one body. God is not divided. There's only one God, and his name is Jesus. So as we look to him, we'd like for you to also realize that many things and many false teachings has went out. But as I encourage you to read your Bible and believe what it has to say about the man called Jesus, and you won't go wrong, my friend. But if you follow after the world's going to lead you into destruction. But if you follow after Jesus, He'll lead you into the kingdom. So it's up to us. So we just look to the Lord at prayer at this time. And Lord Jesus, just help us, oh God, to be that that you would have us to be. Giving all praise and honor and glory unto thee, for thou art sovereign, and you don't need me, but Lord, I need you every day of my life, every moment I need you. I need you for the breath that's still warm from your nostrils that keeps life in my body. I need you, and they need you, Lord. We just pray that you would help us, O Lord, to come to that realization that to know without you we cannot exist, and without you we can do nothing. So we give you the praise and the glory for all that will be accomplished. And touch those that are sick amongst us and raise them up. And our men and women that are in these wars and these that have come home all lamed and all, our political people, give them a heart to understand that they're not the ones that to make the laws. They need to obey your laws and give them the knowledge to understand. And we'll be careful to praise you for it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Till next time, God bless.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecomptn 31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are